Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I tell you that it took me over an hour to sit down and finally get to do this, this is my life now. At the very final moments where I got Easton down and fed and napping, and he likes to be carried and like in contact a lot of the time when he naps. So the odd time you get him down where he doesn't need to be like in your arms is amazing because it means you can get some stuff done. And then Bentley comes inside covered in poop. I don't know what he rolled in outside or whose poop he rolled in outside, but he rolled in poop and then was trying to jump up on the couch and such. So I had to give him a bath. Somehow, Easton is still asleep. So brew yourself up a nice cup or join me today for today's conversation as I give you guys the backstory of my labor and delivery. Today's order is a peppermint tea, by the way. I'm in all orange for those of you guys that cannot see me because we are in peak October time. I'm so excited that it is fall. I've just been enjoying, as weird as it sounds, I've been enjoying new mom life overlapping with fall a lot. He's just very vocal. But he's still sleeping. I want to make the disclaimer just because I've been posting a lot of content. Surprisingly, I wasn't really expecting to. I didn't put a lot of expectation on myself to be posting a lot during this time, but I've just been feeling really inspired and just really good. I've been in a good place. I feel like I've really stepped into a version of myself that makes sense and feels right and inspires me and makes me just feel really happy. And when I'm happy, I like to create more. So I have been posting a lot more content and such. But I do want to make the disclaimer that you get what I'm able to create at the end of the day, but there are definitely days where I can't get my makeup done. This was, again, a miracle today. I almost did today's chat without makeup on. There's times where, you know, it's difficult for me to even just get a shower or use the bathroom or get a good meal in. So, and there's been an influx of people that follow me in the last year that are pregnant, or those of you guys that have already been following me that have fallen pregnant or might want to be pregnant one day or may have already been pregnant and already had children, all of the above. And I've gotten a couple messages being like, I don't know how you're being productive, or like, how are you doing it all? How are you balancing it all? And everybody's different. Every baby is different. Everybody's support system is different. And so I have not looked up what anybody else has done because I just don't think it's healthy, you know, to put any kind of expectation on yourself. And the number one priority is always your baby. And so once your baby is fed and changed and happy and loved, then you get to do all of the other stuff you did before, right? So I've been lucky. I've been calling him Easy as a nickname from Easton because he's just been such a good baby to me. He has his moments. He's not always easy, but for the most part, he's been really good to me. And yeah, so let's dive in. Sorry, longest intro ever. And this is still lukewarm. Perfect. So I was due on August 26th, 2022. And due dates are really kind of more like guest dates. They're not necessarily the day that you're going to go into labor. And most people go late, especially with their first baby. And also genetically, if you have people in your family that tend to go late, then more of a chance you will as well. So my mom went 2 weeks late with all three of us, just about 2 weeks with my brother. Like, I was due on Valentine's Day and I came on the 28th of February. So I had a feeling I was going to go late, but I also was working with midwives and I had a team of midwives. I had a care team, you know, and I was really lucky to get in because the waiting lists are long and midwife care is amazing here. And the only issue was if I go to 42 weeks, it's encouraged that you get induced at the hospital. And at that point, midwives are no longer able to do your birth for you. You get usually get passed on over to the medical care of the hospital, which is a good thing if you need that. I was blessed and lucky enough to have a very uncomplicated pregnancy. I was planning a home birth. I was hoping that wasn't going to be the case. So fast forward, I was having about a week, maybe even more, I don't know, it's a blur now, because all of those days bleed together, of so much false labor. It was wild. I would get this thing called bloody show. I lost my mucus plug. All of the words, by the way, for delivery, this is one thing I did not know prior to ever having a baby. All of the words and the terms are so gross. Like, bloody show. Can we not think of, like, what about just, you know, pinkish arrival? That's weird too, actually. No, there's just better words. There's better words. My brain's not functioning well enough to think of them, but there's better words than bloody show and mucus plug. I was getting false labor contractions, but I had known the 411 analogy. So I was not calling my midwife when it would happen. I was just waiting to see it out. Would usually tend to fall asleep. And one time it woke me up and then went away again. Most times I woke up the next morning and it was done. It was gone. And I was so upset because I was like, every time I thought it was so real, I would get all excited and then it just wouldn't happen. And so at 41 and 3 days, it was Labor Day. It was a Monday. And I kept making jokes about how funny it would be if I went into labor on Labor Day. Funny enough, false labor started. It wasn't false labor, but I was getting contractions again. And at the time I was like, oh, more false labor. I was doing all of the things, by the way. And I don't think any of those things really work in terms of like natural inductions. You can do some sorts of natural inductions depending on what you're comfortable with. Again, something for you to discuss with your midwife, that's up to you, or you to discuss with your doctor. Everybody's different. Again, everybody has their preferences. Some people like home births. Some people don't. Some people believe in induction. Some people don't. And I'm all about everybody doing what's good for them. Anyway, I was walking. I was doing the deed, if you know what I mean, trying to make that happen. That was not it. Not fun. Just a lot of like physically, you're so uncomfortable. You're so big, you know, and it's just, you're just not in the mood. Maybe I should cut that out. Like, what if he watches this one day and he's like, I don't want to know you guys did that. This is the weird part of the era we live in nowadays where our children can watch the content we create when they get older. So it's natural. We did the deed. That's how people are created. Whatever. Anyway, did the deed. That didn't work. Walked a lot. That didn't work. Raspberry leaf tea, dates. I was doing it all. None of it worked. And yeah, I was just waiting and waiting and waiting.
Remove my hair from the danger zone.
Doing this new thing now where he grips things.
Oh, we've got spit up on aisle 5. Where's the burp cloth?
As I said, this is my life now.
It's okay, get it out of there. Get it out of there.
To each their own. I'm all about people making their own decisions. I just already know because I had already read some comments of people being like, you know, don't do it this way. Like, don't listen to what this person did and, you know, let your body do it naturally. And I'm all for that. And I really would have loved to have done that. But I really, really wanted to be with my midwives for my birth. And thus, I was open to some suggestions of ways that we could help nudge the process along if my body was already ready, because I was getting checks and exams to check my cervix, check how dilated I was, etc. So we ended up doing something called a sweep. And it's something you can look up. Again, it's like not, I guess that word isn't as gross, but it sounds exactly like it is. They just sweep right around your cervix in order to kick the hormones to your brain to put you into labor. There's more to it than that you can look up because, you know, this is not my forte, but 2 days later was Labor Day. And Labor Day, I started getting contractions. I also had some other symptoms. Like I said, I had some show, I had some back pain, but nothing too intense. And then the contractions started. And so they started around noon on Labor Day, but I didn't think they were real and they started very light. So I was just assuming it was gonna be false labor. The day continues. The contractions continue, but they aren't too intense. I can talk through them. I can walk through them. I can breathe through them. I can do chores through them. And so I'm just kind of ignoring them because I read that's what you should do. And it starts to get closer to the afternoon. Now, my sister and my best friend, Larissa, and I, we do these things on Mondays called Batch Mondays, where we all hang out and we watch usually The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. But if that show isn't on, we've been watching, you know, Batch in Paradise, or we just watch something and we all bring snacks and we take turns at whose house it's at. My sister and Larissa in the group chat, we were like, are we doing this tonight or what? And I said, so I'm having contractions. I don't know if they're going to be real or not. They could very well stop at any moment. So why don't you guys come over? I'm going to send Ryan to hockey. If it ends up being real, then we'll just deal with it then, kind of thing. Because in my head, I didn't want to get too excited. So anyway, I told Ryan to go to hockey. And I said, just leave your phone on loud. If anything happens, we'll let you know. And Larissa and Kira came over with snacks and we watched The Bachelorette. And at that point, they were picking up an intensity. So right before they came over, as the sun was setting, I went and sat outside and I was just grounding into the earth, sitting on the ground because I had worked myself up a lot and I was cleaning like crazy. I was trying to do dishes. I was trying to like do laundry. I was trying to do a bunch of stuff. And then I found myself feeling just really stimulated would be the right word. And so I just needed a moment to myself. I needed to ground and breathe and just, you know. So I went outside here and put my bare feet in the grass and just talk to the baby and talk to my body and talk to whatever you believe in, you know, my spirit guides, energy, the universe, and just have a moment. And so I did that for about an hour and the contractions kept coming. I kept breathing through them and just being like, okay, if this is the real deal, then let's do this. Like, baby, this is you and I, we're a team. And if not, that's okay. Then body, you just keep practicing and doing what you're doing. And it was a really cool moment because I had an opportunity to watch the sun go down and just in my mind think, okay, if this is really happening, this is my last sunset before I'm a mom, before my life changes drastically forever. And it was, you know, you'd think it would be emotional, but if anything, it was just happy. It was just like a happy moment. I didn't really feel too sad or anything. I was just like, okay, we're doing this. Like, we're doing this. I'm gonna be a mom. And like, yeah, we're all eating snacks and we're talking. My contractions start picking up intense. Like, some of them I can't talk through. I can talk through them, but like, I'm like, ooh, yeah. And like talking kind of like that. And so I pull out the yoga ball and I'm just kind of bouncing on the yoga ball. The show was 2 hours long. So it's not like it was a short show. And by the end of the show, it was literally 10 p.m. The show's wrapping up. I stand up from the yoga ball after a contraction and I go to lean over the couch. So my arms are on the couch, my feet are on the ground. And I go to say something. And as soon as I stood up, my water broke. And I was like, and Kira and Larissa are just looking at me like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think my water just broke. And I'm like waddling into the bathroom, leaving a trail. It's gross. It sounds, you know what? Let's stop that. It's not gross. It's natural, but it's uncomfortable because it's different. You know, it's not something you do every day. It's not something you experience every day. Oh, we got some more spit up on aisle 6 now. All right. You know what? The water breaking is a good time to cut to commercial for a quick sec and let me clean this up.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings. but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
So my water breaks and my sister confirmed because I was in the bathroom like, oh, is that what this is? And she was like, oh yeah, like your water broke. It's also not common a lot of the times when you go into labor and you're already in active labor, most of the time, or at least a good chunk of the time, doctors or midwives break your water for you as your body's in active labor. So I wasn't in active labor yet. My water broke and it wasn't a whole lot of water, but there was a good amount. And I call my midwife and I let her know like my water broke. I just want to make sure because I'm late. Like, is there any meconium in the fluid? So I sent her a picture. She said it looked well, it looked fine. So to let her know when I picked up into active labor and I said, okay. So my sister was my support person other than Ryan through my labor. So I told my sister to go home. I said, go home, try and get some sleep. You know, I'll call you when I'm in active labor, when things are going to go down, because it could be hours. And it was. So Kira goes home. As soon as my water broke, I messaged Ryan. Ryan comes back. He brings French fries. I could not even think about eating at this point. Like, it's so weird. Your body just goes into primal mode. And I tell Ryan to get some sleep because it could be a long night. And I kind of tried, but it just wasn't going to happen. So Ryan set up the birthing pool and I set up my candles. We had essential oils going. I played my playlist. We were laying on the couch and I said, okay, close your eyes, go to sleep. And instead I ended up just like sitting and meditating pretty much and listening to music, counting on my contraction timer, my contractions. So around 2 a.m., my contractions go into the 411 category, or like close enough to, you know, not everybody's going to be exactly on that. About 4 minutes apart, sometimes less, about a minute or two long, and that had been happening since 1 a.m. at that point. And so I text my sister. I'm like, okay, it's happening. And she's like, I'm on my way. And I call my midwife, and she lived about an hour out from me. So she was like, all right, I'm going to pack up my stuff and I'll be on my way. Everybody gets here and my midwife's like, listen, like you seem okay. You're making jokes. You're laughing. You're talking between contractions and even a little bit during contractions. Like I, at this point, contractions were pretty intense, but I was still able to cope really well. My yoga ball was amazing. I had my yoga mat out. I would just kind of like lean over, sway from side to side, groan a little bit, and then I would pick my conversation up right where it left off. So she set up, she was in no rush. She didn't think we were too far along. And then she gives me the option after she had set up. She said, I can check you, because you don't want to do checks too often because it gives the opportunity for bacteria to, you know, you don't want to do too many checks. So she said, you know, I can check you now. You seem to be coping really well, so I don't want to get your hopes up. I could check you and you might very well only be at 3 to 4 centimeters, which is what I was already at. So she goes to check and I was 6 centimeters dilated, officially in active labor now at this point. Not only that, when my water had broke earlier, his head engaged, so it stopped the rest of the water. So she said she could still feel the sac. Gross, I know. It's not gross, natural, but weird, okay? I need to stop saying that. I can pop the rest of it if you would like me to. But just so you know, once we do that, contractions are really going to kick up. Like, you're really going to be feeling them. And I said yes because it had been a few hours and, you know, I wanted to get things going. Once we broke the rest of my water, I was planning on getting into the birthing pool. She breaks the rest of my water, and this is where things start to take a turn. Because, as I mentioned, I was 41 weeks and 3 days, so I was pretty late in terms of, like, or past due or whatever. And it is very, very common when you go late for there to be meconium in your fluid. Just because baby's been in there for so long and baby is going to do what babies do. Like, they're eating, you know, they're getting ready to live life on the outside. And so sometimes if they're late, they start early inside. And when I had broken my water earlier, the reason why I called my midwife right away was because we weren't sure if the color looked okay. And so when she was able to see it in person, she said, okay, there's not a lot, but there is a little. And normally when that happens, they suggest going to the hospital to monitor the baby because you want to make sure that the baby is okay, that they're not breathing in that meconium, that, you know, they're not in stress. And so it's optional. I could have stayed home. I could have continued my home birth. Everything was always within my control with the midwives, which I loved. She said, it's totally up to you, but I suggest based on this that we go to the hospital so we can monitor baby 24/7. So, like, you constantly monitor the baby just to make sure that they're okay. And I instantly was like, yeah, that's fine. My preference was to have a home birth. That said, I always went into it with a mindset of that's just a preference. It's not a plan. And I'm going to go with the flow of what happens because this is something I've never done before. This is something that nobody can prepare me for. And so I'm just going to roll with where I'm at when I'm at that point. And so when I got to this point, I was like, yep, let's go to the hospital. I'm okay with that. I would rather know that the baby is okay. Grab the hospital bag. My sister leaves. My midwife leaves. Ryan and I leave. I'm not kidding you. I thought I was going to throw up from the change in intensity of the contractions. And so part of that, I think, was because my water had been broken. Part of it, I think, was also a little bit of anxiety of like, okay, we're going to the hospital now. Things are changing. My plan is changing. And so I don't even remember the drive to the hospital. I got there, waddled my way inside to meet my sister while Ryan parked. I feel like it was the second scene from a movie where I walk into the hospital and right up at the front desk, contraction hits and I just lean over on the table and I'm like, ah, like just making the noises, not screaming, but I was like definitely groaning. And as soon as it stopped, I look up and just look to the side and there's just this guy waiting to maybe be picked up. I don't know, this man. And he's just like, we go to the birthing center. And the great thing was that we were able to use a room at the hospital and the equipment at the hospital, but it was still just my midwife and my support, Ryan and Kira. We get into the room and then hours go by. Hours. My midwife had checked me again. I was stalled out at 7 centimeters. We got to the hospital at 7 a.m. and it was by like noon. I still hadn't progressed. At that point, the contractions were unbearable. Like, the way that my midwife put it is she said, like, you're not getting a lot of progress for the amount of work you're doing. Again, everything is within my control, but she recommended oxytocin to kind of nudge my body along further because it could have been a very, very long time that I continued to stay where I was. It had been a really long time. I didn't want to end up having to do an emergency C-section. I just kind of trusted my gut and I said, yeah, okay, I'm good with oxytocin. At the same time, I had been in the worst possible pain. I was no longer coping as well. I was still coping, but like I tried to get into the bath and that made it worse because I felt like there was nowhere to bear down. I got out of the bath. I was leaning on Ryan. I was doing every position on the bed. I was using the tense machine and I had a code word. It was Antarctica. That was my epidural code word because it was like, I'll get an epidural when hell freezes over, hence Antarctica. I read it. Someone else did that. So I stole the same thing. I think it was around 1 p.m. So about 6 hours, stalled at 7 centimeters. I just said Antarctica. I can't, especially if we're going to throw oxytocin in here and this is going to pick up now. So my body was shaking between contractions. For myself, for my first birth, for the way things were going, it was the best thing I could have done for myself at that point. I would have loved to have stayed unmedicated. That was my, again, preference. But at the same time, when I got the epidural, I was able to take a nap. I hadn't slept or ate in almost 24 hours at that point. I was no longer in pain. And so my support people were able to go get food. They were able to take a break. I told them, I'm like, go get coffees, go get snacks, go to my sister. I was like, go home, go shower, come back. Like, it could still be some time. And so it was good. And like, I got to sit and just have like a really lovely conversation with my midwife. We were talking about child's privacy and the internet and just so much stuff like that. And I was really glad I did it. I think for my second baby, I'm going to try the natural route again, and odds are it'll go a lot quicker, but I have zero regrets choosing that epidural. And so if anybody's watching this and they're trying to decide for themselves, or, you know, just again, always do what's right for you and discuss with your healthcare providers. But there were a lot of people that were like, oh, I hope you don't feel like a failure. And I'm like, absolutely not. I brought a child to this earth. There is no right or wrong way to birth. You know, you just got to do what's right for you. And I really think going with the flow is why I had such an amazing experience, because I wasn't too rigid in what I was expecting or too rigid of what I wanted out of myself. I just wanted my baby here happy and safe. It's time for some burps. You'll only see the back of his head. As I was saying, so it took some time before the guy could come and give me the epidural. 3:30. So about an hour after I got my epidural, which was also a very interesting experience. I got a contraction during him putting in the epidural. That part was a little nerve-wracking because I was like, it's hard to sit still, right? And you need to sit still. And I was just gripping Ryan. Like, I literally had a death grip on Ryan. And the relief I felt, wow. I was still able to feel, though. That was the interesting thing. So I could still feel the pressure. And especially by the time I started pushing, because the baby was making its way down. He was making his way down my birth canal, and I could feel it, and I was still groaning. Like, I was still making noises and stuff. It just wasn't as painful. It's really hard to describe or explain, and it's so weird because even the pain of contractions, I found the next day, I almost forgot what they felt like. And so I think that's the body's natural way of, you know, making sure the human population continues. Like, I genuinely forgot the next day what it all felt like, and I do think that is my brain's way of allowing me to want another one. Like, by about 3:30, I want to say it was, my midwife checked me and she was like, oh yeah, like, it's almost push time. And so I messaged my sister and she was like, oh my God, like, I'm coming back, like, freaking out. Ryan's just like, okay, cool, I'm down, like, let's do this. They both come back, and by that point I was making some noises because it was such a weird experience. If I'm gonna say again a little bit more information than you might like, it literally felt like an uncontrollable poop was coming out of my body. It's because the baby's head's like pushing down on everything as it moves down the birth canal. And it genuinely felt like, I just kept saying, I swear I'm pooping. And my midwife was like, you're not pooping. And I was like, it feels like I am though. It felt like a bowling ball was coming out of my butt. That was a good way to put it. Or at least like coming that way, in that general direction. I allowed that feeling to progress for a little while. And before my midwife checked one last time, and around this time, I would say it was like 3:55, going on 4 o'clock, and she checks and she's like, oh, I can see the head. Like, not coming out yet, but like, when she checked, she's like, I see your baby's head, so it's time to push. And that was also a crazy experience. Yoga definitely helped me through that experience. I pushed for about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and I would just breathe in and push. And at first I was holding on to the hospital bed until my midwife explained, you don't want to put too much of your energy squeezing something else, so like, hold your legs. So I held my legs, breathed in, push as I breathed out, and pushed as I breathed back in. Like, it was so crazy. It was just like, again, my body just went into this mode. And my midwife, I told her I did want push coaching, so she was helping me. Like, at the beginning, she helped give me the proper tools to really get the technique. And then once I had the technique, I was in the zone. I was in a zone. And I do remember I was still cracking jokes. My sister was on one side, my midwife was on the other. Ryan was up by my head, although he ended up looking at one point too. At that point, I just didn't even care. Like, I truly don't think, you know, you don't care about anything. You just want your baby out. Pushed, pushed, pushed. 45 minutes later, you came. And that experience, that feeling even, that sensation was wild, because again, so much pressure, so much pressure. You can feel the baby coming down. And you just feel the baby come out, and it's such a weird, crazy experience. I don't even know how to explain the sensation.
Yes, it's wild.
And he came out, gave a good hearty cry. He was a healthy, happy baby. They plopped him on my chest. I, again, don't even fully remember. I'm pretty sure I was just like smiling. I was laughing. I was talking to him. He instantly came out, eyes bright, wide open, staring right at me. And then Ryan started talking, and he was like craning his head to try and see where Ryan was, because, you know, your baby gets used to common voices in the womb. And so that was really cool. We were all just like looking at him while the midwives were, you know, doing what they do downstairs. And he like reached up, and I also reached forward, and he just instantly grabbed my finger. Like, it was just such a crazy, wild, deep experience. It was just, I don't know, I thought I was gonna sulk. I thought I was gonna bawl my eyes out, and instead I was giddy. I was laughing. I felt high. I was just like, oh my gosh, you're beautiful. Like, you're perfect. You're amazing. Like, hello, what planet did you come from? Do you remember anything from before? Like, it was just instant love. Like, instant, down to your toes, depths I've never felt before. There's no words for it. There literally isn't. I was just like, you are everything. Wow. Some other fun facts are just like little parts of the story. So then you have to push out your placenta. So they allowed the baby, I specifically asked for him to stay on me for a while. I didn't want the umbilical cord cut too soon. Ryan cut the umbilical cord, which he didn't think he was going to be able to do. But again, his instincts just kicked in as well. And then you push out the placenta. We were able to look at it. It was crazy. It looked like an alien thing. It's, again, wild. Wild what the female body does and what it can do and what it creates. And so we saw the placenta. They took Easton from my chest, cleaned him up, put a little hat on him, swaddled him, and gave him back to us. And I'm pretty sure we just stared at him for like an hour. Like, stared at him, talked to him. He had stopped crying, and he was just taking the world in. Like, he was so alert right off the get-go. I think he might be an old soul. He's definitely an alert baby, though. Like, all the nurses and his doctors and my midwives, anybody that's met him, they're like, wow, he's so alert for a newborn. Not to mention he's grown like crazy. So I can't wait to find out more about him. You know, we've known each other for about a month now, and it's been the most amazing month of my life. And I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. I plan to, hopefully, if God willing, I can do it all over again in a heartbeat in like 2 or 3 years. Ryan and I, we had to stay overnight based on the time he was born for him to get jaundice testing. And if you leave the hospital, which you can do, you're not allowed to get jaundice testing at that hospital. You have to go to another hospital. So we would have had to go really far the next day. And we just like, we're like, fine, we'll just stay the night. It's not a big deal. It was late in the afternoon at this point anyway, like going on 7 p.m. So we stay the night. We go to our room. We're both just like, I don't even, again, adrenaline, just adrenaline, both of us. Easton's sleeping beside us, and we're both just like, our eyes are wide, and we're like, that was a crazy experience ever. Like, that was the most insane thing we've ever done. Like, we were just elated. Ordered food to the hospital because our nurse told us to do that. She was like, yeah, you guys could just order it and get the delivery guy to bring it to the front door. And we were like, that's genius. So I ordered a bunch of Thai food. We could barely even eat though, because we were both just still like, oh my gosh, that was crazy, and so tired. And since then, I have not had a full night's sleep since September 4th, 2022. It's been a long month. That night, I instantly started my breastfeeding journey. I was again lucky right from the get-go when he first came out. Like, he latched right away. So I was really, really lucky with that. And it can be, again, a common thing for babies that go a little later to do that, because they get more time practicing in the belly. Every 2 hours, the nurses would come in and check. And I got the nurse to just like refresh my memory, because it's been a long time since I babysat. And I had never babysat a brand new newborn. So to just refresh my memory on how to properly change a diaper, make sure I was still doing it right, and just, yeah, give me my medications and start me on my healing journey. So instantly they put you in, it's almost like a diaper. It really is like a diaper. For the hospital I was at, it was almost like a giant pad. Like, I'm not talking about like a maxi pad for period. I'm talking literally like a diaper, but it's not a diaper. It just kind of like attaches to this weird hospital underwear. I had heavy bleeding for about, it lightened up after a few days, but I was still using like the pads from the hospital, I want to say for like 4 or 5 days. After that, I moved to just like normal period pads, and that lasted another week, I want to say, another week, maybe even two. And then I moved to panty liners, and I'm still in panty liners because there's not a lot like left. Gross, sorry. Not gross, normal, just different. Basically, it's just kind of like spotting, and there isn't a lot, but there's enough that I just wear liners still, and I'm 5 weeks out. So next week will be my 6 week checkup. Then I should be good to go for, you know, exercise. I've been walking, and I did get cleared for yoga last week, so I did my first yoga flow actually today. But I should be cleared for exercise and other things very soon. The last little bit of my story, I was also really lucky. So I did this thing called perineal massage that my midwife told me to do. It is invasive for sure, definitely. I did get a small tear upwards towards my urethra. But I was doing perineal massages from 36 weeks on for about 10 minutes a night, and it literally stretches your perineum. It's invasive. It's a lot. And Ryan and I would always make jokes about it, but I did it every night with my tea, just made it part of my routine. And I do think that's why I didn't tear my perineum, which made my healing process a lot easier. I was able to walk. I was able to sit comfortably. Like, I healed really quickly for that reason. So because my tear was upwards, I didn't need a peri bottle. I'm going to say it was because I was doing that perineum massage, because it teaches your perineum to stretch. It allows it to, you know, kind of practice for the real thing. And so I think that's why I didn't tear downwards, which again, helped my healing process a lot, but I still did tear a little bit. I got about 2 stitches. Got that checked. Everything's good. Everything's healed. Within the first week, I went for 2 long walks thinking like I could do that because I wasn't in any pain and my body reacted. I got the chills. It was literally because my body was trying to tell me like, whoa, mayday, mayday. Like, we're trying to rebalance the hormones. I was trying to physically do a little too much at first, which is just a Nicholson trait of my family where we just don't know where the limits are, so we just push them. But once I was able to figure that out, I rested a lot more. I took more time. That hasn't happened since, though, since my midwife told me that was what my body was doing. Because at first I was like, am I getting sick? She was like, no, you're just confusing all of the things that are trying to rebalance and restabilize again. So I took a bigger step back. Hasn't happened since. And now I'm feeling good now. I am doing the same walk. It's about 2 kilometers. It's actually the street that Ryan's mom used to walk Ryan on as a baby. His parents still live in the same house. So it's so cool. I'm literally walking Easton on the same path and the same walking route that Ryan's mom did when Ryan was a baby with him in the stroller. So that's really cool. And that's my story. That's how I brought my son into the world. And yeah, I think I covered everything. There's a good chance I didn't. I did post an option to send in questions on Instagram. And so I might do a separate Q&A as like a bonus episode if there's anything that I didn't cover in today's episode or today's story time. Yes, I'll do a different video for that. But other than that, thank you for hanging out and chilling with me while I told you guys my birth and labor story. I guess if I had to bring a moral to the story, if you were to walk away with anything, it would be to just be kind to your body. It's crazy what our bodies do for us every single day. I've never had so much empathy for my own body, if that makes sense. Just like I've never felt so, yes, exactly, thank you. Just how amazing our bodies are, how incredible our bodies are, all the things they do for us, from birth to fighting off diseases to allowing me to sit here and talk to you right now, allowing you to hear it, the breath that we're taking mindlessly, the blinks that we're taking mindlessly. Like, our bodies are crazy, and we can be really hard on them, but for real, like, be kind to your body. Be nice to your body. Life is crazy. It's precious. Time is so quick. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I hope you make the most out of it. I hope that you're really kind to yourself today. And I will talk to all of you guys in the next Coffee Talk podcast episode. Bye, everyone.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.